knowledge of the Sabbath. We just ask, Father, that you give us an understanding of the importance of keeping the Sabbath, and the knowledge that you've given us about your day. We give you glory, praise, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So, the importance of God's day worship. There are some handouts. Hopefully everyone got a handout. There were scriptures noted on those handouts. In Ezekiel 8, the Lord revealed the horrors of Israel's idolatry. In each part of the vision, the Lord showed the prophet some form of idolatry that was being committed in the temple. Yet the Lord acknowledged degrees of the sin of idolatry. If someone could read Ezekiel 8:6 for me, please. And I can also ask for someone to read the next one, Ezekiel 8:13 and Ezekiel 8:15. Ezekiel 8:6. And Luke, you got Ezekiel 8:13. I feel like I'm in catechism class here. And Nate, Ezekiel 8:15.
Furthermore, he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The great abomination that the house of Israel commits here, to make me go far away from my sanctuary. Now turn again, and you will see greater abomination.
And he said to me, Turn again, and you will see greater abomination that they are doing. Then he said to me, Have you seen this, O son of man? You turn again, and you will see greater abominations than the
So I want to point out in Matthew Henry's commentary of idolatry and rest, he notes that the list of sins Paul enumerates in his indictment of mankind in Romans 1 encompasses breaking every one of the Ten Commandments. Those who reject God's revelation of himself are allowed by him to descend into deeper and deeper depravity. As I considered each of the Ten Commandments, the one that really stuck out to me was the fourth, keeping the Sabbath as a day of rest. Our idols do not afford us the luxury of any respite from our pursuit of them, but the living God does. The violation of creation ordinance is a high crime, while neglecting a sign of the covenant of grace is a greater abomination. The frequency with which the scriptures enforce the fourth commandment adds to the seriousness of this issue. The fact that Sabbath breaking is singled out as one of the most significant causes of the exile of God's people raises the significance of the issues to a new height. Yet, as we come to consider the glory of the Sabbath as a day of exclusive worship and communion with God, Sabbath breaking is set forth in all its blackness as base in gratitude. And I'll come back to that later in our discussion. Shorter catechism question. How is the Sabbath be sanctified? Who can answer that? Would you like that?
Okay. The Sabbath is to be sanctified by a holy resting all that day, even from such worldly employments and recreations as are lawful on other days, and spending the whole time in the public, private exercises of God's worship, except so much as is to be taken up in the works of necessity and mercy.
Thank you, Bruce. I'll be looking at four reasons the emphasis of the Sabbath day is the rest from our regular employments of the purpose of worship and communion with God that are inferred from the situation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, the fact that God sanctified the Sabbath, position of the Sabbath within the Ten Commandments, and the character of the duty associated with Sabbath keeping. So first, Garden of Eden. First, the situation in the Garden of Eden implies that God designed the Sabbath for worship and communion with himself. God sanctified the Sabbath as soon as the sixth day of creation was completed. So we have scripture associated with that. Genesis 2, 1 through 3, who would be? Again, Henry's commentary writes, after 6 days, God ceased from all works of creation. God did not rest as one weary, but as one well pleased. Notice the beginning of the kingdom of grace and the sanctification or keeping holy of the Sabbath day. The solemn observing of one day and seven as a day of holy rest and holy work to God's honor is a duty of all to whom God has made known his holy Sabbaths. At this time, none of the human race were in being but our first parents. For them, the Sabbath was appointed, and clearly for all succeeding generations also. The Christian Sabbath, which we observe, is a seventh day, and in it we celebrate the rest of God, the Son, and the finishing work of our redemption. The rest required in the Sabbath cannot be equated with an inactivity. It is not so with God himself, who has never ceased to labor in his works of providence, and neither should it be in the case of his creatures, as they imitate his rest. Robert L. Raymond, Christian theologian and author of The Lord's Day Observance and Contending for the Faith, Lines in the Sand and Strengthen the Church, notes that rest cannot mean mere cessation from labor, much less recovery from fatigue. Rest then means involvement in the new, in the sense of a different activity. It means cessation from the labor of the 6 days and the taking up of different labors appropriate to the Lord's day. What these labors of the Sabbath rest are is restricted or circumscribed by the accompanying phrase, to the Lord. This certainly includes both corporate and private acts of worship and the contemplation of the glory of God. Surely Adam and Eve would have enjoyed the Sabbath according to its original intent, as a day of uninterrupted and direct worship and communion with God. Scottish theologian and author Dr. John Murray quotes, "There is a release from the labors of the sixth day, but it is also a release to the contemplation of the glory of God. Cessation from the labors of the week must itself have its source and ground in obedience to God. And the gratitude, which is the motive of fruit of such obedience, will minister to the worship, which is the specific employment of the Sabbath rest." This is just saying that rest from weekly labors and the exercise of specific worship are inseparable, and they mutually condition one another. It is a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. We cannot have one without the other. The purpose of the Sabbath is not inactivity. This was essentially the view of the Pharisees. The purpose of cessation from worldly employments of the Sabbath is to take up the entire time with a public and private exercise of God's worship. God's sanctifying Sabbath, the second discussion point. Second, the fact that the Lord sanctified and hallowed, bless you, hallowed the Sabbath day means that he set it apart for the purpose of worship. Scripture reading here, Leviticus 27:28. Do we have any volunteers? Josiah, I'm looking at you.
Leviticus 27:28, notwithstanding no devoted thing, that a man shall devote unto the Lord of all that he hath, both of man and beast, and of the field, his possession shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted thing is most holy unto the Lord.
Thank you. So when God sanctified the Sabbath and made it holy, the natural conclusion is that he set it apart for worship. In every case, whether an object is declared holy, devoted to the Lord, or sanctified, the emphasis always rests upon setting something apart exclusively to the service. The Lord. This means that the operative phrase in the fourth commandment is keep it holy, not you shall do no work. Did I get amen there?
Amen. Amen.
The position among the Ten Commandments, third, the position of the fourth commandment among the Ten Commandments point to an emphasis upon worship. The first four commandments address our direct relation to God with respect to his worship and service, while the last six address our service to God by way of serving our neighbor. First, the first commandment concerns the objects of worship. The second, the manner of worship. The third, proper attitude of worship. And fourth, the time set apart exclusively for worship. Sadly, many churches have moved away from understanding the Sabbath as a day of worship. Henry comments in Mark 2:23-28. Does anybody, do we have 2:23-28? Anyone would like to read? Thomas. Also comments on Mark 2:23-28. The Sabbath is a sacred and divine institution, a privilege and benefit, not a task of drudgery. God never designed it to be a burden to us. Therefore, we must not make it so to ourselves. The Sabbath was instituted for the good of mankind as living in society, having many wants and troubles, preparing for the state of happiness or misery. Man was not made for the Sabbath, as if his keeping it could be of service to God. Nor was he commanded to keep it outward observance to his real hurt. Every observance respecting it is to be interpreted by the rule of mercy. Many contemporary Christians have abused this principle in order to shift from a worship-centered view of the Sabbath to a man-centered view of the Sabbath. Our fourth point, the duties of the Sabbath. Every duty explicitly connected to the Sabbath observance is a duty related to worship. Leviticus 23:3.
Yes, sir. 6 days shall work be done,
the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
Acts 27. Luke.
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight.
1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 2. Lowry.
Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, there be no gatherings what I have.
Thank you. In essence, every requirement attached to the Sabbath keeping in both the Old and New Testaments relates to some duty of corporate or private worship. The evidence shows that God appointed the Sabbath day for us to rest from our worldly employments so we might have a day of worship and communion with God. When our sole focus on that day is upon worshiping and communing with our God through the glorious gospel of His Son, particular questions regarding our thoughts, speech, and recreations on that day will begin to answer themselves. Consider what a glorious privilege and blessing such a day ought to be to us. What mercy from God that we should have one day in seven to enjoy God without the distractions burdening us throughout the week. Does this not make our neglect of the Sabbath appear as ingratitude? If Adam and Eve needed a day of worship before the fall, do we not need such a day? When you disregard the Sabbath by bending your conscience to the will of employers or to the lusts of the flesh rather than the Word of God, do you realize you are actually despising the privilege of worship? Does not this highlight the importance of the Sabbath more than every other factor combined? So, in conclusion, disagreements over Sabbath keeping should not rupture the fellowship of believers and the doctrine or justification of the authority of Scripture. Yet neither do the Scriptures treat the Sabbath as a peripheral issue. Can we honestly say that the modern church has attached some importance to Sabbath keeping that God has? Whatever position you adopt with respect to Sabbath, whatever position you adopt with respect to Sabbath keeping, may the weight of the Word of God drive you to study these things with greater urgency and increase sincerity to understand the will of the Lord. Yes, Mr. Renshaw. One thing I'd like to point out from a personal perspective, I didn't have a real clear understanding of Sabbath and the importance of the Sabbath. Coming here to Hopewell and Mr. Rencher was a huge impact to me in terms of helping me understand the true meaning of the Sabbath and understanding how important it is to keeping the Sabbath. So, again, I want to thank you, Dave, for being for helping me, and also reading through this book has really broadened my understanding of keeping the Sabbath and the importance of keeping the Sabbath and going back to the Scriptures, which Scriptures really emphasize that. So I just want to say it has personally impacted me and my family. So thank you. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing your word to light to us, showing us the importance of Sabbath keeping, and where your scripture highlights those things that we need to see, how we need to be grateful to you and what you've done for us, and how you've given us this day to worship you and to glorify you. Continue, Lord God, to reveal these things to us and to show us how we can continue to glorify your name. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus Christ.